Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer. Good morning, Naima.
Yes, good morning to everyone. And for those who are just now joining us, of course, this is a show that you get an opportunity to get some real counseling and therapy. So you may want to take notes and even call some of your friends who you know need some help. We're going to play this quick promo to give you some insight on what we do here on Thursdays with Dr. Debbie Green. All righty. Oh, wrong Debbie.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you for playing that promo for me. I mean, you know, my goal is to reach as many individuals as I can with the knowledge that I have to help soothe and just, you know, repair, heal, whatever word you want to use, but just to give you some more information that you didn't have before. So our topic today is don't handcuff my child.
Mm.
You know, I was reading this article, Naima, and I said, I have to talk about this. It was actually, this occurred, I know it occurs more than just in Florida, but I was reading it in a Florida school that they had a shooting in Florida, so they changed the laws where if there's a child that is acting out of sorts or whatever the case may be, there's police presence in the schools. So this was a six-year-old that was handcuffed, restrained, and she was crying for her mother and father, and he did not stop what he was doing. He didn't even think that this child would be traumatized or whatever. And what was happening there, his excuse was she was taken out of class because she was misbehaving and brought to the principal. And she started screaming at the principal and waving her hands. And that's when he handcuffed her, laid her down on her belly, forced her to the floor and handcuffed her and put her inside of the car.
That's horrifying.
Well, could we have done that another way? We could have done that if something. Call mama. I'm just kind of appalled by the blatantly disrespect of this child. But, you know, and so what I did, I followed it. The aftermath was, according to her mother, she is, she's totally changed. She used to be this chipper, happy type of individual. But she, you know, she's changed mentally.
She's traumatized.
Absolutely. So she had her evaluated, and she suffers from PTSD now.
Oh, yeah.
So anytime she sees a police car or hears a siren or even see it on television, she goes immediately into triggered mode. And now this child has a mental illness because of this one traumatic error that should not have happened.
Yes.
It should not have happened.
Whether they win or not, I think the family needs to sue the police department.
Oh, definitely.
Needs to sue that individual. You know, sometimes you do things just to make a statement to your own soul that this was a travesty against another being that cannot be excused. And there needs to be some education in the mind of that officer. That person is a danger to the society, not a help. Would you want your own child handcuffed? I mean, how many children act out because they're upset? And we know a lot of times children that are going through difficulties at home, they act out at school because they don't have a way to express what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So what kind of insensitive adult would think the answer is to handcuff them? You know, it's just so, it's so horrific. But really, this has got to stop. And when people can't be reasoned with to understand that what they're doing is creating lifetime damage, unfortunately, then that means, you can't hear me when I talk to you and explain to you, you need punishment, you need time out, you need to go to jail, you need to be wearing an orange jumpsuit so you can feel what you have done to others. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's what it takes for people who cannot hear. I'm sure there were many people telling him to stop.
Yeah.
And he chose not to. So that's something inside of him. Because when you're an adult male and you would treat a little girl that way, something happened inside of you that turned off your instinctive parental response so that you become an abuser. And that's what he was. And I'm tired of people trying to justify this aberrant behavior. I know that police officers go through a lot of trauma. And some of them have seen some horrific things. A lot of them have PTSD from going abroad in wars where they have seen children used as bait to draw people in and then explosions are strapped to them. I mean, the kind of things people did in using children was so horrific that many of the soldiers who came back from Vietnam as well as subsequent wars, they're never going to be the same again. They're never going to be able to see children as children again.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be police officers because that's a job that requires compassion. And so many people who act out are suffering from mental illness. And yes, they can harm people, and they need restraint sometimes, but there is a skill, and you know, of course, if you have to talk to somebody who's suicidal or homicidal, but they're really not in their right mind. That's what they made stun guns for people who really just, you could not control them, but they don't deserve to die. So this child who was acting out as children do when they're upset and they don't have the words to express what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You need
exactly.
compassion, you need counseling, you need love, you need care, you don't need punishment, and you definitely don't need to be traumatized by being put in handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that officer couldn't understand that, he needs to step out of that job and do something else.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. One of our Facebook viewers, Carolyn Hunter, said abuse of his authority. And I mean, and that's blatantly, and that is exactly what, that's exactly what he was doing. And, you know, I want to talk about the aftermath of this, the after effects. Now, this particular child and many others, you know, I think, like I said, children, you know, between the ages of 6 and, you know, 18 or whatever the case is, if you, they don't have a logical, rational area of the brain that's totally developed to say, you know, oh, maybe I should just sit still or whatever, you know. There's not a peak intelligence at that point on the frontal lobe to really understand exactly what they're going through. So they're all hypersensitive at that point. So, again, you know, this is after effects that could possibly last a lifetime. And it is not something that I think the school systems need to be aware of. If they're going to have the police presence, you know, in the school, yes, we understand that they're there to protect, you know, but sometimes, again, you know, the police is looked at in total different ways. And this was a black officer, and this was a black child, you know.
It wasn't a racial issue. It was a human issue. It was someone who themselves was damaged somewhere in their lives. That officer.
Something.
The reason why he could not respond in a fatherly fashion to that child. Something inside of him has been damaged.
Yes, because I'm sure he could have. I mean, took her to another room, went and got a female teacher to calm her down in some type of aspects until he was able to get a hold of the mother or whatever. It was so many other ways.
He didn't have the skills.
You know, it was so many other ways that he could have done that. But like you said, it's the lack of his experience and his, you know, his personal, you know, feelings towards another human being.
Well, you know, I think we need to examine even our thoughts of how you handle a child who is out of control, out of self-control.
Yeah.
And we've been having this conversation over the last several weeks because it always touches a nerve in various people, using violence to control a child. If you believe that's necessary, then the next step, of course, is to condone the use of violence by an authority who's been given the license to perform violence even to the point of death, if you believe that this is the way you control the behavior of a child. So we as adults must develop better skills in handling children. We don't have them. That's why we beat them in our anger and frustration, because we can't force them to behave as we would like.
Yes.
We don't have the skills. And this is what I've been explaining to people who always get triggered when I tell them that they should not be hitting their children.
Yes.
They always get triggered because this is what was done to them. And many of them, they don't have the skills to calm a child down, and they take it as a personal attack on their ego if a child misbehaves. How dare you defy me? I am your superior. How dare you talk back to me and disrespect me? That's your ego. This is a child. They don't have all of these adult thoughts of of how they're going to disrespect you and disregard your authority and put you down. They don't have that. They are responding to something internal that's distressing them. It's not about you. And when we have adults who can't understand that, then they look at this child who's misbehaving as reflecting a disrespect for them. And then they respond with, as that police officer responded, with a violence. Because putting handcuffs on somebody, that's violence. I'm going to make you respect my authority.
Yes.
So you couldn't feel as a father, this is a hurting child. You didn't have the voice to speak to her in a comforting manner. You can't hug her instead of putting her arms behind her back and handcuffing her. You didn't have the skills of a parent to a child. You didn't have the skills. And this is the same thing when parents think, well, I'm going to pull out my belt and start whipping you because you're having a tantrum and I'm going to make you behave. You don't have the skills to calm someone down who's in distress. That's your lack of skills. And we try to explain this to people who keep damaging their children, and then when their children grow up and damage other people, they can't figure out what happened. Oh, I need to beat them more. Really? So we really have to teach. We have to teach adults so that they understand when you're responding to a child that way, it's because there's something inside of you that's unhealed, and this child is triggering your feelings of low self-esteem, and you're projecting onto this child the notion that they are disrespecting you and not honoring you for the status that you should have. You're projecting that intention onto a child, and that child does not have that intention. That's inside
Absolutely.
Of you. So we need to learn this, and we need to learn better skills.
Absolutely. Well, Carolyn Hunter made a wonderful comment. She said, think about it in elementary schools. Just having a police officer present is scary to a child. That's why we need to educate our children's views of police figures. Police is supposed to protect, not harm a child. Absolutely. You know, and I really think, again, you know, we don't have enough education when it comes to dealing with just, you know, a situation where a person is hypersensitive or just, you know, impulsive, because that we lack so many skills, you know, as individuals. And like, you know, like Eva said, you know, when you are in a school setting, someone should have told you. If you didn't know, maybe you should have talked to a teacher or talked to a principal. You know, what happens when they get upset? You know, how do we handle them? I mean, just not assume, because I'm sure that's what he did. He assumed. He assumed that it was okay. He assumed that because, oh, I am a police officer, so I can just go ahead and arrest whoever, whatever, if I think they are breaking the law. And let's say they're breaking the law. I mean, was she really breaking the law? Because I really don't think she was.
At 6 years old. How can you break the law at 6 years
old? How could she be breaking the law? And then it is astounding to me. I mean, I wanted to follow this case, Naima, to find out exactly how the precinct or whoever supervisor was going to handle that, because I'm sure that the parent is going to sue the school system or the police department.
Sue everybody involved.
Everybody involved.
Sue everybody.
You know, I remember what comment the little girl made. She's like, she said, when I was trying to get him to understand, the cuffs were hurting me. It seems like he didn't even hear me. And I was trying to get him to understand. I would have sat down, but he just kept doing what he was doing. He just ignored me. I would have sat down. I would have been quiet. I begged him. She begged him from the time he put the cuffs on until he put her in the car. And he didn't stop doing what he was doing.
You know what? When that...
And that was,
somebody like
that
something, you know,
like,
I would bet that somewhere in his life he was traumatized as a
child. You took it away from me. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Something was definitely injured.
Yeah.
You know. You know, and this happens. Again, I think now that they're realizing that the brutality of policemen and what they have should have done when they first entered the police academy, there needs to be a head shake, you know, a head.
Yeah, you got to have an evaluation.
Yes, psychological eval. They need psychological evaluating.
Well, you know,
otherwise they're just going to keep doing what they're doing. They're going to keep killing people. They're going to keep hurting people. And yes, this is a society that we live in.
Well, you know, it's a very dangerous job. You're always constantly on high alert because you could be killed at a moment's notice. And I don't know if I've told this story before. You all, if I have, bear with me. I'm just going to say it again on Dr. Debbie's show. But I have a friend who's a police officer. You know how it is. Sometimes you can't remember if you said something, who you said it to. But I have a friend who's a police officer. And he pulled this guy over because he didn't have the license plate on the back of his car. And so he walks over to the window, you know, the driver's side, and, you know, the guy pulls the window down. He said, "You don't have any plates on the back of your car." And so the guy reaches under the seat. Well, you know, my friend, his first thought is, oh, he's reaching for a gun. So he draws his gun and points it to the guy's head and says, "Stop, don't move." And, you know, and then, you know, and then he saw the guy had pulled out his license plate that he hadn't had a chance to put on the back of the car yet. And, you know, and the guy looks up at him and he's got a gun in his face. He's like, "Shut up, what are you doing?"
Wow.
You know, and my friend was just so, I mean, it was traumatizing for him to almost have shot this guy. But then he said, "Don't you ever do that. You keep your hand where people can see you. What are you doing reaching under the seat?" I mean, he's upset because, you know, he almost shot this young guy, you know. But he also had to realize he could have been reaching for a gun to shoot him.
Yeah.
So he had to react and respond according to his training. You know, get ready to defend your life. But
I
when he was telling us that story,
what's happening?
Yeah, you know, I mean, when he was telling that story, I could see that he was traumatized by having almost shot someone,
mm-hmm.
and realizing that that was his reflex, because this young, you know, again, fitting the stereotype, young black man, you know. How many times have you seen the image of a young black man in the car, he had his gun, and shoot somebody? So as soon as he reached under the seat, his immediate programming kicked in, and he pulled out his gun and about to blow the man's head off just for reaching for his plate, saying, "See, I got my license plate. I haven't put him on the car yet." I mean, but when the young man looked up and saw he had a gun in his face, he was looking shocked, like, "What are you doing?" But this happens all the time.
Yeah, it does.
So it's unfortunate that we have created a society where the gun manufacturers want to make money, so they make sure they have a market to sell them, and a lot of young people who are embroiled in a lot of, you know, this whole life, the gangs, the drugs, the bullying and everything else, making people feel like they have to carry a weapon, and some who are, you know, surviving through lives of crime and all kinds of reasons why random people might have a gun, so that the police are always on high alert. They can't see children as children. They can't see teenagers as teenagers. They have to see everybody as the enemy because that's what they've experienced. And
right.
As a result, we have a society where everybody's mentally ill. So we have to figure out how to remove the illness from the whole society. And nobody has the intelligence, or nobody in the government structures has the intelligence to realize that when you arm everybody, then everybody feels unsafe, and nobody can act in a way that is normal.
Right.
And they don't seem to want to see countries where there is peace, you don't have everybody packing a pistol. You know, how many of these kind of tragedies do we need to experience before we have the intelligence to stop thinking that more guns is the solution? Because more guns create more fear and more paranoia and more police who overreact and more children who get killed.
Absolutely, and that's what everybody is responding to, and it's called fear.
Yes.
That's what's happening because it blows out of proportion. Carolyn has another comment here. She said, from our Facebook viewers, my husband is an officer, and so was my father, and the both are great men that think and process what's going on before reacting to any situation. Well, that's a blessing because a lot of them don't.
I mean,
they're in fear. As soon as they drive up behind a car, they immediately put their hands on their gun.
Yeah.
And so they're totally activated by fear. Every officer, I don't care who it is,
fear.
They're all because of society and the social media has put it on such an alert. And as we know, you know, because of the gun violence with, police brutality, I mean, it's just automatic. It's already in the brain.
Yeah.
It's on subconscious automatic.
Yeah.
So here comes the situation where we see it on the news, we see it on social media, you know, someone has killed another person, you know, killed a black male. Thought they were pulling the gun and they didn't have no gun, so all these people are being murdered.
Yeah.
That's what they're being. They're being murdered. They're not being subdued. They're being murdered because of a person under great fear.
Yeah, that's what's happening. So, I mean, there is a way to stop it. There really is.
Well, we need to find out real soon because you know, as our children are growing up, and it's, I mean, you got Generation X, you have, you know, the millennials. I mean, it's like a revolving door of the same. We go back to the civil rights movement, and we're still dealing with the same thing. It's like, you know, we come full circle, and the violation starts so early in the lives of our children. And it is a overwhelming effect on their minds, but then when they have children. So it's like this could definitely be a generational thing, you know,
yeah.
If we're not careful.
Well,
you know, our children are experiencing this on a higher scale.
Yeah. But, you know, the good news is this is resolvable. This is fixable. This can be transformed. It is doable.
Yeah.
Anything
yeah.
done can be undone.
That's true.
So
that's true.
It takes courage to overcome fear. But it is possible because we can go all the way back to the roots of the cause and remove, just like if you want to get rid of a plant that keeps growing and you find it destructive to your yard. You can cut it down and it keeps growing because the roots are still there. But if you want it to not grow again, you dig up the roots.
Yes.
And so then there's nothing there to reproduce. And this is what we have to do with this problem. Remove the roots and then the problem will be resolved. So we got to take a break.
Yeah.
And
well, let's come discussing afterwards how we can resolve some of this.
Yeah.
Pause for peace.
Yes, pause for peace. We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you all, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you're already on our switchboard, and once you get your thoughts together, what you want to say, just press 1. Okay, we got the caller in the queue. But we'll come to you when we come back after this quick break, so stay with us. And let me play the other Debbie.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Number one, any school that has a police presence is typically due to an unusual high rise of violence within that school when there was no police presence, when parent-teacher conferences didn't work, when any kind of strategies for the local PTA didn't work. They bring in the police. And typically, and this is what I've seen, student violence, and I'm not talking about student to student. I'm talking about student to teacher. I've witnessed students where, matter of fact, I'll never forget it. I saw a student curse out a vice principal. And the mother she didn't say anything. So just from that point, at least at that particular school, I said, well, If the vice principal can't get any respect, I don't have any high expectations. I've seen students, well, I heard about it. I was in the school at the time. I didn't eyewitness it, but I was in the school maybe about two or three classrooms down from where this happened, where a male student struck a female teacher. And that male student got a pass. Didn't get expelled or nothing like that. So, I mean, just would she want to come back to school the next day? I've known of some teachers, now these are typically substitutes, that they came in at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, but by midday, they were gone. They didn't come back because, they just couldn't control the classroom dynamics. And that's one thing I think, I don't know, I haven't been in the school system since the 80s because of all this stuff. I think they should have some type of training on how to navigate these classrooms. But the school, now, once again, this is the early 80s, and this was the D.C. public school system. I don't know how it is anywhere else. Maybe it's changed by now. But in that classroom, you were all along. You basically didn't get any backup from the front office. And I'll land my plane on this. Oh, well, two things. One, I knew of a teacher that got thrown out of a classroom window.
What?
Nobody got expelled. And I land my plane on this. If I had a choice, and I've been to jail on contempt of court, all right, for like 7 days. If I had a choice between going back in the classroom or going to jail for 7 days, give me the 7 days.
Those wow. Wow, that's pretty deep. Well, I mean, LA made some really serious points here. And I have substituted in schools, but the atmosphere in the school wasn't of such a degree where I felt like I was in danger. But there are some schools that are dangerous. There are some students that are involved in violent activities, and they have no fear. Some of them, they beat up their parents. I mean, some have gotten to that point where they're totally out of control, out of self-control, because it's really the self that has to control. No one can control you. They can abuse you and restrain you, but only you can control yourself. And so when you're out of self-control, what is it that would make you choose to control yourself? If you don't have fear of pain, if you don't have fear of jail, if you don't have fear of authority, then what is it that can bring you back to self-control? And when you have people that have grown up in an environment where maybe they're living lives of violence inside the house, maybe they've experienced, witnessed, or been victim of domestic abuse, this has been a way of life. Maybe they've grown to the point of anger where now the little child that used to have to watch the parents beat each other up or assault each other and assault them, well, now they've gotten big enough where they can fight back, and so they don't have any fear of adults. They just have all this anger and rage, and they will project that at any adult because that's what's been given to them. So we have those situations. We have schools where you have many populations of children that are going through various life-threatening situations. Some may be homeless. Some may have been in and out of juvenile detention centers. Some may have been abused, assaulted, all kinds of things. So they're expressing all of their experiences. Mm-hmm. And if there is anger to the point where they don't respect any adult, then you can't really fix that with a mere suspension, because that's what's inside of them. And they need some intense therapy and counseling and a removal from the environment that they're in that continues to reinforce that behavior. And, of course, Dr. Debbie can speak to that better than any of us because she's seeing these kind of children all the time.
Yes. I do. Now, I'm going to tell you the disorder that you are speaking about is ODD, Oppositional Defiance Disorder. There is a disorder for that particular behavior. And when this, and that can start as early as, I would say 8 years old, believe it or not. And we know some of the root causes to that is having an absent parent in the home due to different things, whatever the, it could be criminal activity, drug activity, loss of a parent, just not being there, or loss of, maybe doing death, but also when a child becomes so angry and they're not able to process their anger, so it turns into this thing we call inner rage. Inner rage then starts the person to start self-defeating, like nothing else matters. They don't care. They don't respect anything else. So they're always angry. Most of the time, they're just very defiant. They shut down. They don't talk to you. If they do anything, it's going to be throwing objects, knocking holes in walls. We had, I've seen several families deal with children that tear up a room, okay? Tear up, I mean, knocking holes in walls, tearing down doors, busting windows, all of these things of this nature. And, you know, you say, well, how do you handle a child like that? But when it is in the school systems, usually they do medicate that child at some point, okay, with some type of mood, I don't want to say antidepressant, but it's a mood adjuster, to help them to calm themselves as much as possible. And then the other part of it is individual and psychotherapy. Group therapy, psychotherapy is another additive treatment to that. But again, these things are external stimuli causing an internal conflict because our children are not born angry. And you know, it's amazing that someone asked me that question yesterday that was coming to the program, was wanting her 17-year-old to come, and she asked me, do you believe a person can be born angry?
Yes, they can.
And I mean,
I got a story to tell about that.
I'm going to tell you what my answer was. If the mother is experience with the child, if the mother's under some type of pressure domestically or internally within herself, it can permeate to the child's emotional, part of that emotion. They become more emotional than a mother that did not have these type of symptoms. Now, we can say that colic is a sign of a child that's unrest. So she asked me, she said, well, you're saying that babies, they cry because they're hungry, they cry, because they're wet or whatever. I said, a child will cry for a reason. There's a reason why that child,
right.
There's no such thing as a child just crying just because.
Right.
And
just
that doesn't always mean the child is angry. It's the child, wants something. They something that they don't have. That's their way of expressing, getting attention to get what they need. So here we go with the 2-year-old, okay, that's constantly having tantrums, constantly.
Dude.
Okay, what happened?
And so
they get that energy to have the tantrums. They haven't even lived long enough.
Right?
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Well, what about, because let's just be, I'm not disputing anything you're saying, either one of you saying. But what about the students, and there's a whole bunch of them out there, and I'm sure the audience can relate to this. What about, you just name age of the children. from preteens to teens to elementary school, you got some students, the reason why they might act out in school is because they woke up this morning and they saw somebody come out of their mother's bedroom or their father's bedroom that they don't know. Or they've got parents that get high, get drunk, and then take it out on them. I mean, they see some really adult stuff that
they
might not even see in movies.
So, right.
I mean, now, I didn't think about that when I was, you know, because I was like 24 years old, 25 years old, when I said, you know what, I'm not cut out for this. So I got into business. But looking back on it, they see some really adult stuff. So I'd probably be mad, too, at 10 years old come to school and act out if I saw something like that. I'm just saying.
You're right. You're right. I mean, I had a student in when I was teaching high school, and his whole family, they were into the gang drug culture, and he said he had ridden with some people on drive-by shootings, seen people, you know, blown away, all that. I mean, he said, all this is still in my head. So, you know, and I'm sitting here, and he was always getting in trouble for having earphones on and listening to his music and everything, and teachers would get angry and want to kick him out and send him to the principal's office. And he said, look, this is the only way I can calm myself down and get all that stuff out of my head. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm just sitting here listening to my music. And I understood. I'm like, okay, you have images in your mind of watching people get shot to death. You can't talk about it because, you know, with a criminal act, it wasn't supposed to have happened. But all that's inside of you. And you get no counseling, no therapy, nothing. The only way you can soothe your own mind, your own heart, your own soul is just to listen to music. And people are upset because you're doing that in school and calling you, you know, disobedient, disruptive, or whatever. But he said, I'm not bothering anybody, you know. And I understood because he's been traumatized. And he's, you know, all his relatives were in jail or dead, you know. So I think he's being raised by his grandmother. Of course, she's overwhelmed because, you know, how is she supposed to cope with that? But when you have children that are, like you say, L.A., you know, they're seeing things that are upsetting. They're seeing adult things. They're seeing things that a child's eyes shouldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
How are they supposed to cope? How do they express the anger, the rage, the fear that they have? And the younger the child, the less they can express their feelings. So this six-year-old that was handcuffed, who knows what she was going through? Who knows what she had seen or felt or experienced? And the answer wasn't for somebody to come and brutalize her again. The answer was to try to calm her down and help her as much as possible express why she was upset. Just like when you've got a two-year-old and they're screaming and having a tantrum, they don't have the words to express their thoughts and their feelings. So when parents say, oh, that little bad boy, that little bad girl, they need a good beating.
Right.
Really? You really believe that? They're frustrated. They're angry. They're hurting. They can't get you to understand. And so you beat them because they can't get you to understand that they're in emotional pain. Does that make any sense? So all of us, in our own way, we have responded just like that police officer did. Inappropriately,
right.
Taking that child's behavior as a sign of personal disrespect to us when that's not what it is. And to speak to the thought of, are we born angry? I was reading the account of a man who, you know, he had problems his whole life, anger management issues, and, you know, had run-ins with the law and all that sort of thing. And so he went to therapy and under hypnosis, he was able to recall that while he was in utero, his father beat up his mother, and he was feeling the pain. He was punching her in the stomach, and he was feeling the pain of the blows and feeling her distress and feeling her fear and all of that in utero. So he did come out angry. And you do have some children who were experiencing trauma before they were born, and they do come out angry.
Yes, yes, that is so true. I've learned in my field of study and understanding that if we listen to our children and in the earliest stages of life, like from 1 year old, and even when they can't even speak, but we're still listening to them, learn how to listen to them. And as they get older, they'll know that we're still listening and not with a prejudgmental thought, but just, you know, let me hear what you have to say first, because a lot of parents, they often tell their children, be quiet, sit down, don't say nothing. And that's been a common thing since God knows when.
Yeah.
It's been since, I mean, and they don't just say it at home. They say it at school. They say it
right. Anywhere.
Be quiet, sit down.
Yeah, your feelings don't matter. Shut up.
Right. So
that's what we hear.
They don't actually have a voice sometimes. They cannot be their own advocate because they don't, like you say, don't have a voice. They don't have the opportunity to really say, hey, can you hear my side of the story? I know it may not seem what you want to hear, but can I tell it to you anyway?
Yeah.
You know, and get comfortable with just listening to the other side.
Yeah.
And then it gives them a stage presence. I call it stage presence, which means that, okay, I'm going to take the responsibility now to say what I have to say. And even if it's not the right thing, I need to find out what the right thing is to do. Because I know most of my parents are going to say something and let me know.
Right. Yeah, that's what it takes. A person being validated as worthy of the respect of hearing their point of view, even if they're 3 years old and don't have a whole lot of words to express their thought, try your best to understand and feel what they're feeling. Use your intuition to understand what they're trying to convey.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, when I spoke about this problem is resolvable, well, what you just described, that is the resolution. When we can teach all people that all people matter, everybody's feelings matter, everyone deserves to live in peace and comfort without fear, and everyone deserves to have their needs met.
Yes.
If we teach that as a human way of being, then we will eliminate the anger that is produced when people are mistreated.
Right.
So that means when we start out with the right philosophy of living, gradually that's going to eliminate all these systems that we have created that cause some people to suffer. Because our philosophy will have changed, and therefore we will no longer support systems that cause some people to have food and other people to be hungry. Some people to have clothing, other people to have no adequate clothing. Some people to have a place to lay their head and shelter, and some people to be sleeping in the street. We will eliminate all of the structures that uphold that kind of abuse of other lives because our philosophy will have changed. Our belief system will have changed. We will have honored all life, and therefore we will create the systems that take care of all life. And therefore no one will be angry. No one will feel the need to attack.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no need for weapons to defend because no one is angry because nobody feels the need to attack.
Right. Well, one of our viewers on Carla Berry said, yes, this is true. She was commenting on you when you were talking about, you know, if we, you know, really slow our processes down. I think that's the most important thing because as Kelly says, all people matter, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I want to also discuss something, too, while we got this, you know, while we're in this type of mindset, when a child kills an adult, and we know that from our news, that children will pick up a gun unknowingly knowing the danger of that gun and kill another child or kill an adult.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this too many times. So what I was talking about earlier, now this is a generational thing. Because guns kill, you know, what they say, guns don't kill people, people kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are not safe. We're not keeping our children safe because we are allowing them to have the access to a weapon of destruction, which changes their life, because once they take a life, they're not going to be the same.
Absolutely.
And society, the question is, society literally arrests them. You know, I mean, they actually sit in a system until they reach a certain age. Then they're going to be tried. So what happens to that child? The gun was left unsecured. The child picked the gun up. The child fired the gun in the direction of another human being. Took a life. Now the child life is gone.
Right.
So the child is then put through the system, taken from its mother, from its father, whoever raised it, to see them no more on a regular basis. I just, you know, it's an ongoing pattern of destruction. How can we have changed that? Not have a gun in the home, period?
Well, that's part of it.
Lock the gun up?
That's part of it. But it's the mindset of even wanting to pick up the gun that is the problem. What is inside of the child?
That's what
that
I'm saying.
Is angry, vengeful, violent. Because if that is in the child's heart, the gun might not be there. But you could take a common butcher knife and kill someone if it's in your heart to kill. Everything becomes a weapon when you have in your heart to kill, which is why in prisons they can't have silverware to eat, because they will weaponize it. If it's in your heart to harm people, then you look at anything you can use as a weapon.
Right.
So little basic things, they have to remove them from having those who are locked up having access to them, because they'll see it, oh, I can use this to strangle. I can use this belt to strangle someone.
Mm.
I can use this fork to stab someone. You know, I mean, anything can become a weapon if in your heart you wish to kill. So the problem is not the thing, it's the heart. But the thing makes it easier for the heart to enact that act. Something like a gun makes
That's
it
true.
A lot easier to take a life, because you pick it up, you point, you pull a trigger. It's not like something complicated. Even with a knife, you have to get up close to somebody. With a gun, you can do harm at a distance. And some of these weapons, you can do harm to a whole bunch of people, these automatic weapons. You can fire over and over and over again. So, of course, the solution is to fix what's broken in the heart. The anger, the rage, the hate that makes you want to kill, that's where the battle is. That's what has to be corrected. That's what has to be repaired, so that the desire to harm is not there.
Mm-hmm. That's so very important. And you know, the thing about it is, you know, here comes the love, because if the love is not in its proper order, then you know, the negative energies that take over the mind and self-destruct, because anytime they're hurting someone else, they're hurting themselves. And they don't even, unfortunately, don't even know. They don't even know that they're hurting themselves.
They don't even know. Yeah.
No.
Well, we got to take another break, and we got some more callers. Thanks so
All
much,
right.
L.A. We appreciate you, as always, for sharing your experience and insight. Yes,
thank
so
you.
We will be right back after this quick break. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That'll raise a hand on our switchboard, and we know you have something to say. So when we come back, 773-957 and coming to you next, and then 773-487 coming to you next, and anybody else on our switchboard got something to say, just press 1, and we'll open your mic and get your comments. And we will be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts about today's topic.
Well, this is Rashida. I think that we are becoming a police state because our community haven't learned to manage anger and conflict in such a way where there's no violence. But I would love to see in our school system that administration can adjudicate management of anger and conflict from all levels, because sometimes the teachers come in with anxiety, and then they become, you know, aggressive and angry at the children's behavior because of whatever had oppressed them. So in the schools now, they have a protective system, you know, where the police monitor and protection to monitor them from such behaviors. But to have it controlled would take another systematic way than what had created those, you know, endangerments among us. So I think if there could be some resolve with the administration and within the school and teach management to all of anger and conflict. So that was, you know, be a base. And then perhaps the council, parent, student councils can reach out and have the parents get involved in such a way that they can assist with the development of it so that it can be spreaded into the communities and the home. So that's what I see, because the new governor, he's talking about bringing in this, state troopers if he's elected, rather. And we have a lot of endangerment in our community, especially unsolved homicide. So that's the approach to me in institutions that can stop this instead of putting them from one institution to the next institution, because the correctional center, they don't teach that. They teach them, you know, to be there and get comfortable in with what they have to serve time for. And that's it. But actually, they don't have those type of resolves in there that all people can be corrected in those institutions. And behavior, it plays a big role. That's what I think. So if we could probably join together and get teams, you know, committees and advocates to do such a things like that, we can probably see a change. Don't you think so?
So, well, Rashida, I know that you have really been diligent in pushing for more mental health care. And as you said, in our communities, a lot of people have problems managing anger, and they're mentally ill, they're untreated, and they're punished for suffering with mental illness. So what do you see as a possibility in the schools, rather than having a police presence when children act out and may become violent and unmanageable? Do you think it's possible to have mental health professionals called in instead of police? And what about the child who is unrestrainable and unmanageable? Do you think that mental health professionals would have the skills to handle that situation differently than that officer did? What do you see?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not a teacher, but I have worked with students, and I've been among students. And when I went to school, they used to have what they call the EMH room, you know, and emotional, mentally handicapped people were just put in there. So I think if they have a systematic way of changing that, starting with the administrators, the teachers and all, and get the parents involved prior to the child acting out. You know, a developmental disability would not exist in such a way where there's anger and uncontrolled conflict resolution. So that's my job, but I'm not a PhD or a psychologist, but just having concerns and observing, I believe it should start soon. in administration and management, systematically, like a lot of those systems have been created. A lot of children are rather be outside of school than be in a police-controlled school because they've learned other behaviors and they do other things and they have other emotional duress and a lot of other things. So I don't see anything other than everybody getting involved. Because it's out in the communities, although we put blinders on our eyes at home and stay in our little cubby homes, but it's there, you know. And so it starts at home first. And everybody needs therapy one time in life, and everybody doesn't have the opportunity or the funds to receive it or people who care. But if there's a systematic way to stop what has been created, anger and all of that, then we should work on it, you know, step by step, all of us. And
right.
Mental health therapy is necessary for all people. All people. I've seen some teachers do some heinous things. I've seen teachers who have actually raped students. You know, so people have problems. But if it's taught in such a way, then we could perhaps start changing behaviors within our own community. And then the other people that are doing it, because they do it, such as that boy who killed those people who was carrying a gun down the street, and he got no time because the communities were concerned about his mental health. And they saw where there was a deficiency, and they were willing to help build his character and to have him not labeled as a murderer. So we can do more than that as a team in our communities and in our schools, I think. So the volunteers, but the councils are there, and they can reach out, in my opinion, to the family, and make it mandatory that they appear and leave if they have a student in that school or a family member that they're guardian over. So that's something that, you know, it's not hard. It's just having the love and the care to see it, to make a difference and see a change.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we thank you so much, Rashida, for sharing your insight.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes.
Yes. And we've got another caller here. Area code 773-487. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thought about today's.
Yeah, good morning, ladies. This is Akufa James. Can you hear me?
Are you?
Oh, hello. I'm very disturbed that today, but with hope because my voice still goes on. So I'm definitely have made some changes in the world, in the community, and I thank God for giving me that voice. And so I use it wisely. We keep falling under the spells of a system which creates this anger, this violence, and the behavior that we're seeing. And what I mean is that when you're being indoctrinated to believe something that's a lie, you know, the truth will set you free. You've heard that? I'm sure you've heard that before. But you know what a lie does? And most people, you know, they're like, what? I don't know. I know truth sets you free. What does a lie do to you? It puts you in bondage.
It puts you in bondage. Absolutely.
Mentally bondage. You know, we're trying to help our children, all that. We have to go back to our culture. We have left our culture. I'm sure when you was in school, you had, you know, African drummers come and You see the beautiful woman dancing to the drums. That was just so healing to hear and to see and to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten
away
from our culture, and the last lady is right. I mean, organization, advocacy, that's fine, but we need our culture. I was on a train the other day, and I was playing my little drums to myself, and I looked back, and it was a sister. She was in the days. She was in the COVID days. And I just started playing, and I looked back, and she was just kind of shaking. She was kind of moving to the beat, you know what I mean? And I thought it was kind of helping her get out of her COVID days.
Mm.
You know, we have believed this thing exists, and we have promoted it. And I'm so peaceful. We have to guard the minds of our children because we are amongst heathens. We're amongst people who are keeping the pressure on. They're keeping their pressure on and creating fear. Okay? And it's what they've been doing for a long time. So this is how you stop it. You let these people know, we see what you're doing, police officers or teachers or these people on the radio. We see you keeping the pressure on us as people. Guess what? We ain't listening to it. You're talking just, I call it hot box, and you're a bunch of hot air. We just came out of COVID, and now everybody's attacking one another. Like we airing out all our dirty laundry. We just can we get together? You know, we didn't come out of this with no love and no compassion. We just like jumping on each other. We just got beat up by this thing. We got beat up for 2 years.
You know, that's interesting because you look at the time that we spent away from each other. It was a time we could have spent in reflection and meditation and healing so that when we came back out among each other, we could have been peaceful. You're right. We didn't use that time wisely. We didn't use that time out wisely. It's like when you put a child in the corner and say, okay, you need a time out. You're disruptive. You're fighting people and everything. You need to sit in the corner, think about what you did, reflect on how you would like your school experience to be as opposed to it being disruptive and angry. So you get 10 minutes in the corner. Now, when you come out the corner, you should have thought about, well, you know, I really want to get along with my classmates better. I want to be able to enjoy playing the games and not be pulled away and sat in the corner. So I'm going to treat people better. That's what should have happened. But if you come out the corner and you go back to fighting your classmates again and pushing people and snatching folks' toys, then you didn't learn anything. So it's the same. We didn't learn anything. We had 2 years to reflect. How can we have a more peaceful society? How can we treat each other better now that we're away from each other? You know, you can't interact. So now you have a time to think about how we've been treating each other. We didn't use that time wisely because you're right. We should have come out of this treating each other better. And we didn't. We went right back into fighting. So what do we do? Because now it seems like it's even worse. You know, Dr. Debbie, I was reading a story, and thank you so much, Koopy. We always appreciate your contribution.
I like to say this real quick just to finish what I was saying and answer your question. What should we do? If you look in Africa, when this thing hit, do you know who came out? You know who came out the forest? You know who came out the bushes?
Who's that?
The indigenous people came out. They started dancing and chanting, war chanting, playing the drums, letting them know, we're here to heal your mind. Your mind is under attack, and we y'all need to hear this. And it was, doing their thing. Because your mind is under attack right now, and
that's
our mind has been under attack, We are the conscious people like myself. You know, I'm coming out with some drums, sounds, and I started playing my harp because it's a mental, like I said, the truth sets you free, and a lot puts you in bondage. Our minds are in bondage right now. So,
that's right. Well, thank you so much. That is the truth. We need to undo the thing that's putting us in bondage. Now, on that note, as he was talking about the culture, the drums and so forth, I was reading an account of a school where they didn't use suspensions and expulsions when students would act out. They had a meditation room, and they would go in, spend time in meditation. They showed them how, you know, yoga, breathing, you know, just resetting the mind, creating that theta wave state of the mind where you are calm and peaceful. They were able to guide the children in doing this when they were having those days where they came to school angry because, like L.A. said, maybe they saw a man coming out their mother's bedroom and they're angry about that. You know, so they come into school, they're acting out, picking fights, but it's really that internal anger. Well, instead of them getting suspended and written up and sent home or you know, have the police call and put them in handcuffs, you know, they have them come to the room of meditation, and they were able to calm themselves. They were able to reflect, and they were able to control themselves, because this is what it really is. It's self-control, bringing yourself back to control, calming yourself, getting a chance to reset the brain and literally change your brain waves to the more peaceful theta state of meditation. And if we can teach this, then we can, rather than having a police presence, we can have those people who can guide you to self-management and self-correction and self-soothing. But that's a skill, and it comes with a thought that people aren't acting out because they're bad or they deserve the more beatings or they deserve to be punished. It's acting with the understanding that all of us, at the core, we are good people. But if bad things happen to us, we're responding to the hurt that we experienced. So if we approach the idea of each living being with that understanding, then our response to them when they're acting other than their true selves will be different. It will be compassion. It will be, how can we bring you back to the balance that you have lost, as opposed to how can we punish you for disrespecting me? Totally different attitude.
Absolutely. Well, Queen Zelda on our Facebook views, the system is instilling fear into our children to expect to possibly have the same experience as they grow up. Mm. Meditation is an excellent alternative, absolutely, because it calms the soul.
Yes.
That's what happens. It calms the soul. So, you know, again, it helps them to listen to what's inside of them and also outside of them in the same order. So it's a peaceful existence. You know, it's so many factors, you know, that we have in society that really affect our children on an overall basis. And, you know, our parents, you know, whoever the nuclear parents, biological parents, community, teachers, authoritative, we all have to do it collaboratively and, you know, teach them about the wonderful part of their past, to help them for the present and also for their future, and to put in mind that they have to understand this thing called love, because I truly don't think people really wrap their minds around this thing, this unconditional energy that one can express, you know, just by the simplistic things of life, you know.
Love is the solution to everything.
It is. It overcomes a multitude of sins, and the sins of this time and this season is the sense of discontentment, sense of confusion, sense of fear, right? So at some given point, we have to dissect, you know, when I talk to adolescents, because really I don't really do a lot of work with the younger, like under the age of 10. Mm-hmm. Usually play therapy is good for them, what they call a sandbox, where they can express themselves through arts and these things.
Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah, so, but the ages of 12 and from 12 to 17,
mm.
you know, and these are such moldable years
yeah.
for our children. And again, you know, years ago, you know, I guess we can go back 50 years ago when children were just normally just sitting still. I call it sitting still because they didn't have a phone.
Yeah.
You know, they were outside playing with each other on the monkey bars, the merry-go-rounds. So a lot of the violence that is permeated in the minds right now, it is something that the exposure, you know, it will be a wonderful thing that we can go back to the simple times when children, we see the children on the playground, you know, things.
Right.
And instead of having all this influence that tears their beings from, you know.
Well, when you think about it. You think about what we have exposed them to in terms of entertainment, and you have everything from video games to TV shows where people are shooting and killing each other. How is that entertainment? How is that fun to watch?
Grand Theft Auto.
Right. And then we're surprised that 12-year-olds are carjacking people. You know, we're surprised. Why are you surprised? You programmed them to do this. And why are we not having the courage to say, stop? Do not buy these things. Do not patronize these things. The effect of this is dangerous and endangering to our society. Why aren't we having the courage to stop things that are harming our society? Instead, we want to punish the children after we program them to be violent. Does that make any sense? At some point, as a collective, we have to have the courage to stop the things that are creating the problem. Again, pull up the roots. So, if a child is fed a steady diet of violence, watching violent behavior on the, whether it's their phone screen, their computer screen, the TV screen, it's a constant barrage of violent images. And then they're experiencing verbal violence from teachers, from parents, from strangers, the constant threat on their own physical safety. They're experiencing this. This is what they're living. Why are we surprised when they express it? Why are we surprised?
Shouldn't be.
We put it in them. That's what's coming out of them. So if we want to solve the problem, pull up the roots. Stop. Stop. Stop promoting violence and inflicting it on our children. All forms of violence. That means even the economic violence in which children are struggling and suffering and seeing their parents having to struggle and live in the fear of not being able to stay inside of a home when it's freezing cold outside and living on the street. That is something that's preventable.
Cool.
So if we as a society choose to simply do one thing, change what we think about each other, we will change the systems that are brutalizing each other.
Yes.
Every life matters. And all
it
of
does.
Us are expression of the divine energy of creation we call God. You can't serve God and hurt your fellow beings. So if you are participating in or creating or managing a system that hurts people, stop. Change it so that it helps and not hurts. It's so simple. And as soon as we as a collective make that one choice to change how we see each other, then all of the problems we have created will disappear. We will have pulled up the roots of the problem. This is doable. It's doable. We simply have to decide to do it. It's not hard. It's not hard. So if you look at a child and they're misbehaving, and the first thing you think, well, they didn't get enough beatings because they're disrespecting adults,
That's the wrong thought. That's the root that needs to be pulled up. That's the wrong thought. The right thought is, this child is expressing pain. Let's listen to them and see what's hurting them and see if we can remove the pain that they're experiencing and responding to. But if in your wounded adult ego, if this child cusses you out or throws something at you or whatever they do, your thought is, how dare you disrespect me? You need to be punished. Let me call the police on your six-year-old behind and put you in handcuffs. Then you have to look at yourself. Why are you not able to see that this child is reacting to something internal that has nothing to do with you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What wounds are inside of you that need to be healed that you would think someone is disrespecting you? Has someone disrespected you? Have you felt humiliated, put down, disrespected in your past, in your childhood, maybe in your adulthood? And you're responding to what you experienced. So then that's why you're overreacting to this child who is merely responding to their own internal experience. So what happened in this police officer's life that he couldn't see a child in pain? He could only see someone not respecting his authority. And so he's going to show her who's boss and put those handcuffs on. What happened inside of him that was never healed? That's what we saw enacted. And that just has to stop. Because all of us are reacting to each other in a wrong way because of how we feel about ourselves and what we have experienced and what is unhealed in us. So when we can heal what's inside of us, then we can see that each of us is a divine being that has been injured and needs to heal.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I think whenever a person doesn't show internal love outwardly is because they have blocked themselves subconsciously from realizing it, you know, identifying with it. So it's like, the lenses have changed. Lenses, the view of life have changed. So the sensitivity of one's ability to sense with their sensory organs that this person needs love, not just from the platform of just another human being, but this is a child, but, you know, a older adult, a person that is mentally ill. We have so many reasons why, but most of all, that just because is very important.
Very important. We gotta take our last break, and then we got another call on the line. If you're on our switchboard now and got something to say, make sure you press 1 before 2 minutes before it's time to go. And we want to give you enough time to speak. So if you got a thought, please press 1 once you get your words together on how you want to say what you want to say, so we can open your mic and get your thoughts. And we will be right back after this break, so stay with us.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
I'm Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful host, Naima Latif, our executive producer, at the top of the hour. So let's take that caller, please.
All righty. And area code 312-671. Your mic is open. Go right ahead and give us your thoughts on today's topic. Don't handcuff my child.
Where are ya, Shalom? We don't die, we multiply. Black is blessed, beautiful, and all about success breeds success. Save the children is the best of the best.
Yes.
This is Brother Plump, Minister Robert Floyd Plump, Chicago, Illinois. And we are all about saving our children is really saving our future. And that is our greatest ancestors from the past, the present, and the future. And you all, as far as I'm concerned, Dr. Debbie Green and Sister Naima and the Female Solution, my grandmother used to say to the family and the community, I wouldn't take nothing for Bobby. And that's me. So as a result, I grew up partly in Mississippi, grew up partially in Chicago, and I started, my roots was with Emmett Till, and he was a child too. So we got to keep it real, like Brother Kofi said too. We should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So I remember the greatest, the Honorable Mary Hale Washington said, we must plump the whole community. So as a result of growing up, and now I'm fully grown and I'm on my own, God bless the child, got his own. Mayor Washington said, we must plump the whole community. So we are plumping it up in freedom, justice, equality, and economics. Everybody can help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing, looting, and hijacking. See, the Hal Washington Foundation is not with none of that. We are really from the roots, and the roots that we about is the authentic, the original ways. So therefore, we got the second annual Black Community Unity Day. Remembering Happy Black History Month, Black Unity, and the kickoff date is February the 23rd. This is the year for you. And when I say you, I'm talking about the black woman too, and the black man. This is our time now. We should never forget how Mayor Hal Washington Mayor Harold Lee Washington defeated the racist and the Chicago machine. The theme that we got for this year is God, we are only. So willingly or unwillingly, everybody must turn back to God. So we're asking everybody to join us to celebrate Black History and let us go and do it again, because we in it to win, which is we and us. Who is that? That's Team 23. Brothers and sisters, they can call me, Minister Plump, at 312-671-2773. This is a fundraising event. We will have music, food, and fun. For more information, brothers and sisters can go to www.theharold washington foundation.org or Zellers at the Harold Washington Foundation, care of Robert F. Plump, 312-671-2773. Naima, I know you remember. You remember Dr. Webb Evans, and I know you remember Pastor Marion Earl Sorton. I know you remember Mark Stanley Allen, and you remember our godmother, Willie Tappan Barrel. And this is going to be on Wednesday. Yes, this is for the community now. This is not for me. This is something that God gave me to share with you. And being a part of what? The solution. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So on February the 23rd, 2022, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at National Black Wall Street, Chicago, 4655 South Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, room 203. You can see me. We need volunteers, members, and sponsors. And we are hiring 100% of our people and more. And this is the 100 year, the kickoff is the 100 year anniversary of the Honorable Mayor Harold Lee Washington, 2022. And that's a part of the solution for this year, which is our time now.
As always, for sharing your solutions, we appreciate the work that you do in the community and raising consciousness. And for those of us who are in and around the Chicagoland area, you know, please join Minister Plump and that celebration. We thank you so very much, as always, for sharing your information. And this is what we all must do. We all must do our part, and that is what will make a difference. You know, I have this video up on screen. I don't know if you want to share this. I'm trying to see how do I share the screen. This is the
move to
course.
The bottom. Well, known as
Let me see now. How do I share it when you are the host? I have it on my screen. Let's see if I hit share. Share screen. Okay, so now let me see if I can do this. And of course, you know, it's going to... You know how they give you the little warning before they show something. It's going to make you angry, so just be prepared to be upset.
Yes.
Amazon employees earn at least $15 an hour, but $15 is just the start. That's why we provide health care on day one. We'll keep doing a better job for our employees, whether they're here for a season or a career.
Okay, she's going to have to come with us now.
Okay, Kai, you got to go with them, baby girl.
Stand up.
This is the arrest of 6-year-old Kaya Rowe.
What is that?
Caught on body camera.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I can get it on
no,
the screen.
No, see if you get a visual.
Yeah, I want you all to get a visual if you can.
Because I was trying to download it myself. No.
Still in the
broadcast.
Window. Okay, now if I hit window, I think this is it. There. Okay, now let's see. Is it down in your you don't see it. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. No, maybe that's it. Okay.
Okay, I see something. There it is. Okay.
Okay. So I think if you pull it up, yeah, I think you have to hit it so it yeah, you have to do it. Oh, there we go. Okay, all right, we're going to show you all this. All right, let me expand it to the whole screen. And, oops, all the way back to the beginning. And here we go. This warning, this video contains disturbing images and language.
Okay, she's going to have to come with us now.
Okay, Karen, we got to go with them, baby girl.
Stand up.
This is the arrest of 6-year-old Kaya Rowe.
Right,
caught on body camera, Kaya was arrested and zip-tied by a school resource officer at her elementary school in Orlando, Florida, in 2019.
So what is
school said Kaya had started hitting the school's assistant principal and screaming after being told that she couldn't wear her sunglasses in the classroom. Her family say that Kaya was experiencing side effects of sleep apnea, a diagnosis they'd shared with the school. But the first grader ended up being taken to the principal's office and later charged with misdemeanor battery, a criminal offense.
I don't want to go to the police.
At the time of Kaya's arrest, Florida had no minimum age laws, leaving children of all ages eligible for arrest by law enforcement officers at school.
Kaya, as a 6-year-old, was arrested. She was handcuffed behind her back. And the only reason that she was handcuffed with zip ties is because the officer said that he didn't have handcuffs small enough to fit her wrist. Kaya was so short, he had to go and find a footstool for her to stand up on so that she would be at the appropriate height level for him to take her mugshot.
I was really scared and confused. I was like, what? Why? Are those police officers for me?
The number of reported law enforcement in Florida schools nearly doubled the year before Kaya's arrest.
Out, go.
Oh, now you want to touch? I'm not going to hurt you.
Don't
give
me a...
Put your hands behind your back.
Don't
touch my
back. We shouldn't be putting handcuffs on 6-year-olds. There's almost no situation in which that is an appropriate response.
Experts say rising numbers of school arrests in the state can be significantly attributed to a piece of legislation passed in the wake of the Parkland school shooting, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act.
The act actually requires that all public schools in the state, which should include both traditional and charter schools, have an armed individual on campus at all times. It could be a sworn law enforcement officer implemented as a school resource officer. It could be a private security guard who's also armed but is not a sworn law enforcement officer and doesn't have arrest powers. Or it could be implemented through what we call the Guardian program in Florida, which is arming a school staff member. So school resource officers in some ways are part of a bigger trend towards target hardening and trying to protect schools.
Florida school arrests fell statewide during the first year of the pandemic, but now Floridians are heading back to in-person classrooms. According to the ACLU, in 2018, Florida classrooms had more police officers than nurses and more than double the number of police officers than social workers or school psychologists. Kaya Rowe's family want the public to understand that the trauma of arrests leave lasting mental scars on kids, ones Kaya is still living with 2 years later.
Before the incident, Kaya was an awesome young lady.
Yeah, do you see anyone? I smiled over there!
She wanted to hug everybody. She wanted to sing for everybody. She wanted to dance for everybody.
That was awesome.
Yeah. As a result of the incident, Kaya has been diagnosed with PTSD, with severe separation anxiety. She almost has a solitary lifestyle now. She's become a totally different child.
I feel sad about what happened at school with the police officer because I think he was really mean to me.
Presenting the toys of destruction. My diary.
Kaya's case made national news. After an investigation, the Orlando Police Department fired the school resource officer who arrested her, saying that the arrest of any person under the age of 12 requires approval, and that this approval was not obtained in Kaya's case. The family says her charges were dropped.
I'm safe.
Okay. That's okay.
Hello.
No.
The royal family then worked with their state senator to raise the minimum age that a child can be arrested in Florida. The Kaya Roll Act took effect on July 1st, 2021. It states that any Florida child under the age of 7 will not be arrested, charged, or adjudicated, except in the cases of forcible felony.
It took a lot out of me to fight. And I fought really hard because I did not want to see this happen to another family. That does not stop our fight. She turned 8, and this was in May, and she said to me, she says, Grandma, that means that my own law no longer protects me.
The royal family want the minimum age of arrest in Florida to be raised again, and they also want the state to look into the role of SROs as a whole.
What we need to do is have serious conversations about whether they should be present in schools at all. Then we need to couple that with rigorous looks at the way in which we train them, the ways in which we try to minimize their bias when it comes to dealing with students of color, to ensure that if they are going to be present, that we minimize unintended negative consequences.
Well, for Kaya, the future is a long road. You can learn to live with it. You can learn to regain semblance of normalcy. But there's no such thing as curing PTSD. CNN reached out to Dennis Turner, the former police officer in her arrest, but has not heard back. Of course, he was terminated in that arrest, so we wanted to let our...
People think unusual circumstances means complicated taxes, but for a TurboTax Live expert like...
Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, as you can see, the damaging effects on the child, I mean, for those who have audible, you can just hear, I mean... just the distress call that she did when she begged him not to put her in the car, and he did it anyway.
Yeah, what was wrong with him? He couldn't feel that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he just disconnected.
Yeah.
So he disconnected.
Yeah, I'm going to do this anyway.
Unfortunately, Zelda Robinson watching on Facebook Live, this is a horrible, this type of treatment is unacceptable. The adult community must continue to change laws to protect the children. Absolutely, absolutely. And it's an ongoing thing. So that's occurring in Florida. So, you know, that law changed.
Florida,
and I'm sure
issues.
That there you have other states that have the same issue,
yeah.
But have hopefully, you know, someone will lobby, because if you don't lobby for change, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
You know?
You have to change laws. But even before laws change, you have to change beliefs. You have to change thought.
Absolutely.
Because everything comes out of our thought. And this is why I've been really diligent with this thing about how you raise up a child without violence. If we don't get that point, then we will not see where this is an outgrowth of that thought, that the way you correct behavior is through violence, instead of understanding that a child is only expressing hurt. They're only expressing their frustration. They're only expressing their inability to express what it is they're feeling. If we look at a child's misbehavior as a sign of disrespecting our authority and therefore deserving of inflicting of pain,
then that belief is what creates that kind of action that we saw. So we have to fix our incorrect beliefs about each other. That's where that's the root that has to be pulled up. When we pull up that root, then we will see everything else change.
And you know, another thing too, I'm just shocked that out of all the workers, staff that was there that day, no one
conditioning.
Stepped up.
That's what I'm saying.
No one stepped up and intervened. And say, wait a minute, this is not right. Let's go. You know, the principal, no one stepped up. So I think all of them should have been held accountable in some degree, other than just the police officer that was arrested. I think they should have been reprimanded, something.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When you have been conditioned for that mindset that a child who misbehaves deserves punishment, rather than understanding, listening, and compassion. When you've been conditioned to believe that, and you've been conditioned to accept police as ultimate authorities over life, when you've been conditioned, what was that Koofy said about, if the truth can set you free, then what does a lie do?
It makes you live in
bondage. So when you can't see that you have a right to your human dignity, and every human has a right to their human dignity, when you can't see that, when you've been conditioned out of that truth, then you accept abuse. You accept abuse from people who you've been conditioned have the authority to abuse, and no one has the authority to abuse anybody. So got to pull up that root, that wrong thought that allows us to accept abuse of children, that allows us to abuse children. We have to correct this in us, and then we can correct the manifestation of the wrong thought that's in us, because everything that we're seeing in our society is a manifestation of our own beliefs.
That's true. Yes, absolutely. Well, this was a great topic today, and I hope that everyone learned a little more about what, you know, our children are going through, you know, that we are, society is, you know, having a big effect on our children as well as adults in society, so everybody's being affected by it. So, if you ever see it out there, just, you know, have the strength to just speak up. Say, hey, I don't think that's right. Thank you, Facebook.
Yeah. And we got a quick comment from Beata. Go right ahead before we go. You can hear
every show. Thank you, ladies. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. I couldn't help but think about the question, what's wrong with that police officer? I think PTSD has to be considered with police officers who are, some of them went to war, Vietnam, Afghanistan, whatever, and they have PTSD, so they react. They don't respond with love. They react. So I think the war, tomorrow morning, I'm going to talk about ending the war on our bodies, on health and well-being with Beata, because we got a government who's been promoting war on our bodies. We got a government promoting war over in the Middle East. This war-mindedness, this warmongering has to stop. At childhood, we need to teach our children about peace. So that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, ending the war
on
our bodies.
There we go. All right.
Loving ourselves. Fly. First, love yourself. That's the mantra we should all be singing. So that's my promotion. Thank you for a great conversation, ladies. Have a great day.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right.
Germany. Danke. Poland. Danke. France. Merci. Spain. Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa, Liabong, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
All our brothers and sisters around the world.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, well, you have a wonderful day. Love everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.